When it comes to hard work, there's one important rule. Pick the right tool for the right job. That's why Chevy offers a family of Silverado pickup trucks designed just for the job. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
720 WGN, John Landecker, and of course that's Jethro Tull locomotive Breath Martin Bear is playing guitar on that particular tune. He's Jethro Tull, guitarist and rock and roll legend, has his own band now and a big U.S. tour, in fact, going over parts of the world, at a show entitled A Brief History of Tull. Martin, welcome to the airwaves of Chicago. How are you?
Oh, hi, John. I'm fantastic. Yeah, really looking forward to coming over in June.
Yes. As a matter of fact, the in Three Oaks, Michigan, the Acorn Theater on June 8th, and then the Desplaines Theater on June 9th, and these are all in our area, then the Arcata Theater in St. Charles in October. So describe this show you're going to do, this two-hour Tull extravaganza.
It's special. Everybody says their show is special. I am no exception. I've been doing, this is year 12 of my own band. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we got messed up with COVID. We were doing a celebration. We did the Aqualung album as part of the tour. And it sort of, you know, we got so much disruption that I didn't really feel that it's fulfillment from it. And so I thought that the next thing I wanted to do would be something that was the pinnacle of everything I've done.
Yeah.
In maybe, I don't know, 50 years. It's sort of a summary, not a conclusion, but a summary of all the great things Tull have done in music since 1968. But it's very personalized, so that nobody's going to hear the obvious.
You know, you brought up Aqualung, and I was just talking to some folks before we started getting on the air, and I said, I wonder if that song could be recorded today because of the opening line. You know, sitting on a park bench, you know, the little girls with bad intent. I mean, that is then and now is now, if you know what I'm saying. Yes, you do know.
Yeah. Exactly. It's, but we'll put it down to history, and
certainly
it gets erased or changed. I'll leave that to somebody else.
Don't get me wrong; I think it's one of the greatest Tull tunes. One of my personal favorites.
Yeah.
It just struck me. You know, times change, lyrics change, mores change. Everything always changes. You can count on that. So take us back to the beginning, though. You're obviously from the UK. The United States welcomed with open arms so many bands from the UK. Does your background, does it have any similarity with the other famous musicians that we've come to know and love from the United Kingdom?
Yeah, you know, it's like a big club in England. Everybody knew everybody else. We did the same circuit, the same blues clubs, the Marquee in London, and we all got to know each other, and we're all, it was like a big club of friends.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we sort of parted together. We met up occasionally, and, you know, when we did gigs together, it was always good fun. So everybody knew of everybody, and coming over to America was the big dream.
Oh, yeah.
The Beatles and the Stones opened that up for everybody, and, you know, America welcomed us with open arms and great positive attitude, and it was incredible. It was an incredible experience for anybody to come to America in the late 60s. It was a magical time, and I was so lucky to be part of that era that hit America in those golden years. And I mean, you know, now it's everything's international.
Yes.
People, we're looking at the whole planet, not just the UK and America, but in those days, in England, anybody from America got our attention.
Yes.
And the other way around, you know, you got your foot in the door because you were from England. You still had to prove that you had something to offer, but it was something special. It was a very special relationship across the Atlantic.
Well, Jethro Tull, speaking of having something different to offer, I was going to get to that, because there had been before, nor has there been after, in my opinion, a band like Tull, which was eclectic, artistic, imaginative. It had more than three or four chords. It had thought. It had poetry. The guy had a flute, for crying out loud. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
How many times have you seen that in a rock band? I thought you really made an impression because of your uniqueness. You know, some of the other bands made an impression because they came from England and they were similar to the ones that came before, but not Tull. Tull had its own thing going on. Mm-hmm. How did that come about? How was that approach arrived at?
I think that me and Ian are both very obstinate people, you know, very sort of self-centered and, you know, don't listen to other people, but not necessarily a good thing.
Yeah.
But we were just, you know, really determined and stubborn and very motivated, and, you know, I've still got that. It became part of my DNA. And I was a flute player when I met Ian.
Ah.
We were on an equal footing. We were like the two guys in England who played rock flute. And, you know, when we met, it was quite an amazing thing. So we had a lot in common, and I think some of it was coincidental, that the fact that we liked the same sort of music, we both played flute, was the foundation. But it came to be that we had the same attitude, the same approach to music, the same feeling that we didn't want to be part of the crowd. And I was never like that. You know, if everybody liked this, I wanted to do that. I've always been that sort of different, had that different direction to go in.
Absolutely.
And it's still the same now. You know, I want to be different. I want to surprise people. I don't want to be predictable. I really want something to be exciting. You know, it's like going to a theatre. Whatever you see, you really want it to be a complete, surprise, a complete experience, unique in itself, but really powerful. But it's never left me. It's sort of ingrained. And Ian's the same. You know, we both have that sort of different approach to everything.
Hold that thought, Martin. We'll be right back with more on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, I'm John Landecker, and more with Martin Barr. There's a topic that I got to bring up because I want to make it clear to everyone listening that your tour is called A Brief History of Tull, and that you played with Jethro Tull for 50 years, maybe 45 years, for a long time.
Yeah.
And then there was also a tour going on that is Jethro Tull. I wanted to make sure that everyone understands that these are two separate entities. What was the departure point? What was the departure point? Why are you no longer with that band? Why is that band no longer with you? They told me I could ask you anything, so I went for it.
Yeah, I'm happy to answer anything. Well, in my mind, there is no Jethro Tull. I am not Jethro Tull, and there's not a band on the planet that is Jethro Tull, because Jethro Tull, the formula, it's simple. It's Ian Anderson and Martin Barr, and that was the way it always was from December 1968, and you know, people accuse me of being a tribute band, and they accuse Ian of saying it's Jethro Tull, but there's no Martin Barr there. So you know, we both live with the same difficulties.
Yes,
but at the end of the day, it's fine. You know, you can look at the title of anything, but look beyond it to see what's really happening. And I'm not hiding anything. I'm not trying to be something I'm not. I play the music of Jethro Tull, and the more I play the music and examine it and represent it, the more I realise that the guitar is a huge part of that music. So I'm very qualified to play it, and I love doing it. You know, I'm an ambassador for the music of Jethro Tull, and always will be.
You know, I think the audience today that knows Jethro Tull, that knows the history of rock and roll, totally understands what we're talking about here. As time passes, things pass. Things happen. And I'm not making an exact equation here, but I believe there was at one point three different Beach Boy bands touring. I mean, they each had, you know, they each had a member of the Beach Boys in them, and they were some ramification, some splinter. I mean, this kind of thing happens. I mean, it just does over the years. And it doesn't distract. I don't think it detracts from what you do at all, quite frankly. I mean, you were there when it all happened. You were there when all the big tunes were hits. And you're still here now. So, of course, you should play them. At least that's my opinion.
Yeah. Well, I think that, you know, that the guitar element in Tull is so powerful. It's so strong. And I played all of it. That can be never taken away from
right.
me.
Right, absolutely.
And I'm not pretending to be something I'm not. I'm Jethro Tull's guitar player. I was, I am, and I will be.
All right.
And what other people do that won't really affect it, because I think if people that people know what I do and they come to see and hear me do it, and it's simple, it's very direct. It's a shame. I mean, me and Ian should be together. That it was written in stone in 1968, that it was a great partnership, and it shouldn't have been taken away. But it's a shame, and these things happen in life. And I'm so happy doing what I do. I'm in control of the music. I spend a huge amount of time really developing it and making it the best it possibly can. I've got an amazing band. So, you know, whatever you want to call me and whatever you want to, however you want to describe what I do, it's 100% genuine.
Oh, and, absolutely.
The quality is you know, there's no doubt about it in my mind. I'm so confident of what I do, and I'm so dedicated to what I do.
Does it ever occur to you today that, wow, when I started out in the late 60s, little did I realize that here we would be at 2023 and that this music would still be, if not as popular, maybe even more popular than it was in the beginning. Did that ever occur to you before?
No, we're more mortal. sometimes, you know, the older I get, the happier I am that I wake up in the morning and I can have a nice cup of coffee. Yeah. I celebrate every day with the best cup of coffee I can make. No, I don't plan ahead. Nothing's taken for granted. It never was. And, you know, we just worked hard. It was a hard work ethic. And I think if Jethro Tull ever failed, it wouldn't be through not working hard enough and not being dedicated enough. So I figure that whatever had have happened, we couldn't blame ourselves, but we were lucky. I think the fact that we were ahead of the game. We were always fresh, going in a different direction, trying to change things, keep things moving all the time, helped us. But at the end of the day, if fans don't come and see you play and don't buy your CD, then, you know, obviously that's the end of it. So we have an amazing fan base, and I meet them all the time, every year, every tour. They're incredible. You know, they love the music, and I have 100% respect for them.
Well, you can count me as one of those members of the fan base, Martin, and I want to thank you for spending all this time with us and discussing your music, and all the best to you on your upcoming tour. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, yeah, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, that's Martin Barr, former Jethro Tull guitarist and rock and roll legend. He's out on a tour with A Brief History of Tull, June 8th at the Ecorn Theater in Three Oaks, and 9th at the Des Plaines Theater. 720 WGN.